அவர் பக்தி சங்கா ஜப்பா கான்ஃபரன்ஸ் கால் ஆஃப் அவர் சைத்தன்ய சரிதாமிருதா கிளாஸ் அண்ட் டுடே வி ஆர் வெரி ஃபார்ச்சுனேட் டு ஹாவ் வித் அஸ் ஹர் கிரேஸ் கீர்த்திதா சுந்தரி மாதாஜி டு என்லைட்னஸ் ஆன் த டாபிக் ஆஃப் அந்தியலீலா 2.121 ஆன்வர்ட்ஸ். ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா கீர்த்திதா சுந்தரி மாதாஜி, ப்ளீஸ் அக்செப்ட் மை ஹம்பிள் ஒபீசன்சஸ். ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு ஷீலா பிரபுபாத் அண்ட் குரு மகாராஜ். மாதாஜி, ஐ ஹேண்ட் ஓவர் த கால் டு யூ மாதாஜி. தேங்க்யூ ஸோ மச் மாதாஜி. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா.
Krishna, thank you so much Shyama Supriya Mataji for such a warm welcome and introducing everybody, and thank you everyone for your wonderful association, sharing your valuable time with all of us. Thank you for joining, and my real thanks goes to Kamudaki Mataji for appearing on this conference call today at this part of time. You know, your appearance, I know you are on mute, but I just want to say that, you know, your appearance is a sign of auspiciousness, that definitely you are showering your blessings on me so that I may speak something relevant today.
Hari bol.
Mataji, Kamadaki
Mataji. Mataji, I also heard your classes also some were there, but I could not reciprocate. I could not ask. Even I couldn't even say that it was wonderful class.
No, Ms. Mataji, your presence itself, you know, says everything. And welcome back from Dham. You were stuck in Dham, which was again very, very good. Because yeah. In one sense, yeah, we missed your association and you were in such a situation because the COVID was there. But in another sense, it was good that you were in Dham and you got more time. Yes. Arrangement Krishna made for you.
Now I am also missing their association. It's like from there I was missing this association, and here I was missing that. But it's whatever it is, devotee's mercy. Thank you.
Of Krishna, that wherever we are, we make ourselves happy, but at the same time we miss other association. So thank you also. Thank you, Kamadaki Mataji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Here I should say one thing, like Kaumudiki Mataji, when she was there in India, she specially messaged me and asked your number. She wanted to talk to you, but because of like internet connection, she was not able to talk, I think so.
Oh, sweet of you, Kaumudiki Mataji. Thank you. Thank you for showering such love on me. Thank you. Okay. All your wonderful permission, your wonderful presence, auspicious association. Let's start.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Bhakta Vrinda. Jayo Jayo Shri Chaitanya, Jayo Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jayo Jayo Shri Chaitanya, Jayo Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So we are reading from Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela Chapter 2, entitled The Chastisement of Junior Haridas. And today we'll do text number 121.
Heta kahi Mahaprabhu abhyantara gela, Gosaina vesha dekhi sabe mauna hila.
After saying this, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered his room. Seeing him in such an angry mood, all the devotees fell silent.
Om Ajnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Charu Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarini. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Guruve Gaura Chandraya, Radhikaya Tadali, Krishnaya, Krishna Bhaktaya, Tat Bhaktaya, Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna, everyone. So before again I start, I just want to seek heartfelt blessings, prayers, wishes from each and every one of you to please shower your blessings, your prayers, so that I can speak something relevant pertaining to the topic. The topic itself is a very, very high subject matter. Though today we'll be just going through storyline, but still, you know, I really seek your blessings. And please, please don't be so miser. Shower immense blessings and prayers. I really beg each and every one of you. Vancha kalpa tirubhyascha kripa sindhubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Okay, so let's begin on that note. So this chapter entitled The Chastisement of Junior Haridas, and especially this verse, after saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered his room. Seeing him in such an angry mood, all the devotees fell silent. So let's see, you know, why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was angry. And because he is Mahavadanaya, right? He is the most munificent incarnation. But still he got angry. So what was the reason? And why the devotees were approaching him? And why Mahaprabhu was so angry? And then, you know, we'll just go through all this. So just in a quick summary, last class was yesterday. But this last class I'm talking about when I gave the class last time on this chapter. At that time, we covered, just want to give you the gist and overall what all we did and what we are on now and what we will be doing in next 40-45 minutes. So in the last class, we covered that how Supreme Lord delivers the fallen souls. The three ways that Kaviraj Goswami describes. First is the Sakshat Darshana, that is through his direct appearance, meeting personally to his devotees. Next is by Avesha, that means through empowering his pure devotees, as we saw the pastime of Nakula Brahmachari. And third is through his Avirbhav, that is appearing before someone, an example we saw of Narsingha Deva Brahmachari. After describing all these three ways that how Mahaprabhu delivers the fallen conditioned souls of this material existence, then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes the pastime of a Bhagavan Acharya. Bhagavan Acharya was very gentleman. He was very learned scholar and a very, very great devotee. And then, you know, I think so that section was covered by His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu, where he was telling, he basically covered the whole pastimes that how Bhagavan Acharya has a brother named Gopal Bhattacharya who studied through Vedanta philosophy from Benares. And then he came to Bhagavan Acharya and then Bhagavan Acharya wanted to introduce him to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But since, you know, he was from a Mayavad background, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu artificially, you know, externally he showed his, you know, warm greetings, but internally he wasn't happy meeting Gopala Bhattacharya. And then, you know, Bhagwan Acharya was basically very lovingly chastised by Swarup Damodar Goswami. And Kaviraj Goswami writes that this is what the loving bond is between the two intimate friends. That, you know, when the friends are so intimate in their relationship, then of course the loving chastisement also goes on. And Swarup Damodar Goswami, he chastised Bhagavan Acharya that why you are into so much, you know, introducing your brother to Mahaprabhu and just telling your brother to say some philosophical background to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he was from the Mayavad background. And then, you know, he simply said that just getting yourself in the association of brother, you yourself is ruining your intelligence and your spiritual life. And then he said, Mayavadi Bhashya Shune Hoi Sarvanash. So, you know, Bhagwan Acharya was greatly affected with this and, you know, feeling a little bit ashamed of it. He asked his brother to go back to his district. He didn't feel bad about how Swarup Damodar Goswami chastised him, because again, it's a loving relationship between two intimate devotees, two intimate friends. But then he realized that, yes, Mayavadi Bhashya Shune Hoi Sarvanash, and I don't want to ruin my spiritual life. And so he requested his brother, Gopala Bhattacharya, to go back to his own district. So that was the pastime that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami quotes in the second chapter of Antalila. And after that comes the pastimes of this pastime of Chota Haridas, the junior Haridas, as the chapter entitled. So let's see that what, who was he, what he did, why he was being chastised. And then today's verse, why Mahaprabhu was so angry. So let's see and dive in that pastime today. And hopefully I'll try to cover the whole pastime. But let's see how much time permits from Krishna's Kal. Kal is Krishna. So let's see how much Krishna supports us. Okay. So one day, Bhagwan Acharya, he invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home. Okay, now before I start, I just also want to give a disclaimer that today's session will also be just a storyline, nothing philosophical, not much. Definitely some philosophy will come, some instructions will come as per Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our dear Srila Prabhupada. But the overall session will be just a storyline, okay? So one day, Bhagwan Acharya, he invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home to have a lunch prasadam. You know, he wants to serve lunch prasadam to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And for this, he sent one of the devotee, his name was Chota Haridas, and he told him to go to the home of Madhavi Devi, who was the sister of Sikhi Mahiti Prabhu, to beg some rice from her, so that he can make some preparations, some rice preparations for Mahaprabhu. Chota Haridas was a great singer, and his service was to sing for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sikhi Mahiti was the sister of Sikhi Mahiti was Madhavi Devi. And she was quite an elderly lady, but very, very firm and, you know, dedicated and sincere in her devotional service, very, very advanced in her devotional service. So then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he writes that actually Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had 3.5 people as his intimate devotees. And who were these 3.5? First one was Swarup Damodar Goswami, next was the Ramananda Rai, then Sikhi Mahiti, and then his sister Madhavi Devi. Now, why they were known as 3.5 disciples, why not 4? So, to that we'll see. Before that, I'll just want to tell you that Swarup Damodar Goswami, we all know that he's none other than Vishakha Devi. Ramananda Rai is Lalita Devi. And Sikhi Mahiti, as per God Ganesha Deepika, it is mentioned that Sikhi Mahiti was an assistant of Srimati Radharani, and his name was Ragalekha. And his sister, Madhavi Devi, was also an assistant, a maid servant of Srimati Radharani, and her name was Kalakeli. This is as per Gaurganodeshadipika. Now, why these 4 of them were still known as 3.5 disciples? So this is, I'm giving you the reference from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 10, verse number 137, where Prabhupada writes in his purport that Madhavi Devi, being a woman, she was considered as half. And the other interpretation that is being given, that's all, you know, shastrically what I could find was only from the Prabhupada's purport, where he mentioned that being a woman, she was considered half, and therefore there were 3.5 disciples. Otherwise, you know, I searched many places, but shastric reference, I couldn't find that why it was 3.5. But one another sannyasi in the Gaudiya Math, when I was here reading his transcript on this part, he was mentioning that actually the interpretation that has been given of half a disciple is that Madhavi Devi, being in a woman body, in a female body, she could only half associate with Mahaprabhu, whereas others could be there with Mahaprabhu 24/7. Okay, so because she was in the woman body and Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi, so she couldn't associate with Mahaprabhu every time, all the time, right? So this was the another interpretation given. But again, as per Shastras and concern, I couldn't find any reference except Prabhupada's purport, which for me is 100% a Shastra. It is in Adi Leela 10.137 where Prabhupada clearly writes that since Madhavi Devi was a woman, therefore she was considered half. So these were the 3.5 disciples, the most intimate confidential servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Coming back to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, so anyways, after begging rice from Madhavi Devi, Chota Haridas, he came back and he brought the rice to Bhagwan Acharya, who was very, very happy seeing the quality of the rice. And at noon, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to eat the offerings, he was also very, very pleased and very appreciative towards seeing the quality of the rice as well as the wonderful preparations that Bhagwan Acharya has cooked for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, you know, Mahaprabhu asked Bhagwan Acharya, where did you get such fine rice? So this was the question that was put forward by Mahaprabhu to Bhagwan Acharya, that where did you get such fine quality of rice? And then Bhagwan Acharya replied that I got it by begging from Madhavi Devi. Conversation was ended, right? Because question was put forward that where did you get the rice? And Bhagwan Acharya replied that by begging from Madhavi Devi. So looks like the conversation ended, but no. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sitting in the heart of everyone as Paramatma. And so he doesn't end the conversation and he asked another question. So who begged the rice? So you want to ask that who went to Madhavi Devi's home to beg the rice? And then Bhagwan Acharya, he mentioned the name of Chota Haridas. And Chota Haridas went, I told Chota Haridas to go to the house of Madhavi Devi to beg some rice from, to beg rice from Madhavi Devi. Anyways, now the conversation ended. Mahaprabhu took his prasadam. And while going back to his own home, to his residence, he was accompanied by his personal intimate servant, Govinda. And he told Govinda that from this day, do not allow Chota Haridas to come here. Now, this was a very, very strong and hard statement. That suddenly, at that time, Mahaprabhu didn't say anything. He just honored prasadam and then he left. But while he was going on his way to his residence, he told Govinda that from this day, do not allow Chota Haridas to come here. Now, when this news went to Chota Haridas, he was very, very unhappy. No one actually, not only Chota Haridas, but no one could understand that why he had been ordered this way. And then Chota Haridas, after hearing this, he got so upset and he fasted for 3 days. And then finally, Swarup Damodar Goswami, he approached Mahaprabhu because, you know, Vaishnavas are para dukkha dukhi. He can't see Chota Haridas lamenting in this way, getting bereft of Mahaprabhu's association. And so he finally went to Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and he asked, Kona Pradha Prabhu Kaila Haridas? He said, what great offense Chota Haridas has committed? Why he has been forbidden to come to you? He has been fasting for all these days now. What offense he has committed? Kona Pradha Prabhu Kaila Chota Haridasa? And then Mahaprabhu replied that I cannot tolerate the face of a person who has accepted the renounced order of life but still talks intimately with a woman. This is the answer that Mahaprabhu gave. So this shows that Mahaprabhu is sitting in the heart of everyone. Because Chota Haridas didn't reveal anything, Bhagwan Acharya didn't know anything, none of the other disciples or devotees of Mahaprabhu could know anything. But Mahaprabhu could sense, because he is the Paramatma. Nobody can hide anything, right, from Paramatma. So therefore Mahaprabhu came to know, and he said, I cannot tolerate the face of a person who has accepted the renounced order of life but still talks intimately with a woman. So even in American English, you know, we just say that, don't show your face again. You know, I don't want to talk to you means don't come here. So this is what even Mahaprabhu said, that I don't want to see his face. So this is the biggest punishment that was being given to Chota Haridas. And it is said, Yadi chaha pranaya rakhite gauranga sane, Chota Haridasa katha thake ye namane. That if you really want to, if you really wish to love and honor Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and want his mercy to come to your way, then always and always remember this pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu banishing Chota Haridas. It is very, very important pastime, because that will lead us that what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu want from all of us. And if we really want his mercy, then yes, we should always remember the katha of Chota Haridas. Always keep in our mind. Only then Mahaprabhu's mercy is going to flow. But someone may ask that actually what was his fault? You know, what offense Chota Haridas committed? Even I was searching for it. Anyways, he went to go and beg rice. And Madhavi Devi, she was such an elevated devotee. And she was such an elderly devotee. It's mentioned that she was 84 years old. She was not young. Then if he would have not gone, somebody else would have gone to beg rice from Madhavi Devi. But what fault actually was being committed by Chota Haridas? And then, you know, I came across, but again, no Shastric reference. I can't find anywhere. I searched even from Bhakti Ratnakar also, but I couldn't find anything regarding this. Nowhere it's been mentioned that actually what fault was committed. Just I came across to one of the, you know, Gaudiya history, there where it is being mentioned again by one of the sannyasi of a Gaudiya mat, that he mentioned that actually in the ashram of Madhavi Devi, there was a girl who was serving Madhavi Devi. Some say that that girl was a niece, had a relationship with Madhavi Devi, but somewhere it is mentioned that she was just only a girl, you know, young girl, a maid servant who was serving Madhavi Devi. And when Chota Haridas went there, he had an idea in his mind to look toward that, you know, young girl. So even though outwardly he was renunciate, but in his heart, he was keeping some kind of lust, some kind of attachment. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows the heart of everyone. No one can hide their feelings from him. Therefore, understanding everything about Chota Haridas, Mahaprabhu banished him. So this was being given by the sannyasi who was from Gaudiya Math. But trust me, I couldn't find anything. But any one of you, if come across to any of the words where it is mentioned that actually what happened and why Chota Haridas, whether he got attracted to Madhavi Devi or he got attracted to one of the girl who was serving Madhavi Devi, if somebody comes across, then please do mention. But I personally didn't, you know, find anything even from Bhakti Ratnakar also, that what was the reason. So anyway, this is one of the explanation that was being given. But another explanation is also being given that, you know, that if we go deeper and see that what actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chota Haridas is actually, he is an eternal associate of Mahaprabhu, right? He was performing this pastime just to set an example to the entire world, so that those who are renounced order of life, and of course they are in the line of Mahaprabhu, then they should not have this duplicit nature. This duplicit nature of being renunciate from outward externally and having some kind of even the traces of lust in their hearts. So this is what Chota Haridas was used as an instrument to teach all of us what Mahaprabhu wants. Mahaprabhu doesn't want anyone who is especially in the renounced order of life can show this externally, you know, they show that they're very, very renunciate, but internally they have lust in their heart. So Chota Haridas was used as an instrument. This is another thing, you know, that we have to understand. Just like we see the example of Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, they were Jaya and Vijaya, right? But they came just to fight with Krishna, because who can fight with Krishna? Only his intimate devotees can fight with Krishna. Krishna just cannot fight with, you know, anyone. So just to fulfill the desire of Lord Shri Krishna, they accepted this and they came as the demons in three lives. We all know the history. I don't want to go into deep, but the point is that devotees are used as an instrument to enhance Krishna's leela, whether it may be in a positive way or it can be a negative way. But the ultimate purpose of the devotees of Krishna is to enhance his leela, enhance his pastime. So this is what even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu want to teach us through Chota Haridas, that, you know, especially those who are in the renounced order of life, they should be very clear and very sincere, very subtle, you know, very sincere in their heart too. And in this regard, Prabhupada writes in one of the purport of Bhagavad Gita that for a sannyasi, intimate relationship with women for sense gratification is strictly forbidden. And we know who is the ideal sannyasi. The ideal sannyasi is our dear Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. And we saw that how he was very strict in regards to women. And although he is considered to be the most liberal incarnation of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered the most liberal, most munificent incarnation. You know, he is the one who delivers the conditioned soul. We cannot rely on Krishna 100% because Krishna has that principle. Krishna works on justice. Ye yathamam prapadyante. You do this much, I'll reciprocate this much. But for Mahaprabhu, he doesn't work on justice. He just works on our sincerity, how much sincere we are. He doesn't see, you know, how much we do, but he sees with what mood we do. So that is why he is known as Mahavadanaya. Right, he is the most liberal incarnation when it comes to accepting the fallen conditioned souls. But still, he also has, you know, he also follows some rules and regulations. And just like Narottam Das Thakur, you know, he says, "Patita pavana hetu tava avatara." Musama patita prabhu na pai beara. Narottam Das Thakur prays that, my dear Lord, your incarnation is just to reclaim the conditioned fallen souls. And then Narottam Das Thakur says, I assure you, Mahaprabhu, I assure you, Gauranga, that you will find no one greater than me. You'll not find a greater fallen soul than me. And therefore, he says that my claim is first. So you should first liberate me. You should first show your mercy. I'm the right patra, the right claim to get your mercy. And in another bhajan also, Narottam Das Thakur says, Gauranga karuna karo dina hina jane Mosama patita prabhu nahi tribhuvane. Jadi dayana karibe patita dekhiya पतिता प्राणा नाम केशेरा लगिया. Narottam Das Thakur says, oh my Lord Garunga, please show your mercy. Please show your mercy to this lowly fallen soul. There is no one more fallen than myself in all the three worlds. And then he says, Jadi daya na karibe patita dekhiya. You have seen me. You have seen me that I'm so fallen. And still, if you don't give mercy unto me, if you don't show your mercy on me, do not show mercy on me, then patita paranam nama kishera lagiya. Then then why are you known as Patita Pavana? Because you are not showing mercy on me. Then why your name? Because your name is Patita Pavana. Then somebody asks that who gave you this name, Patita Pavana? If you are seeing me as Patita and still you are not showing your mercy on me, then you know your name itself is not befitting unto you. So if you do not give your mercy, then why you are known as Patita Pavana? You know, this name doesn't befit you. So this is what Narottam Das Thakur prays. Yes, Mahaprabhu is very, very merciful. He is a munificent incarnation. But when it comes to following rules and regulation, Mahaprabhu is very, very strict. And then he used Chota Haridas as an instrument to teach people like us who are especially, of course, like us, Vigrahastas, but especially for those who are renounced order of life, that, you know, they should strictly follow the rules and regulations. See, renouncing and following this renounced order of life, taking sannyas, is not easy. Taking sannyas by running from your material duties is definitely not recommended. The sannyas, if somebody enters into the renounced order of life, that person is expected that he has come into, has accepted this renounced order through proper intelligence, not through any kind of sentiments. Because sentimentally, if somebody accepts this sannyas ashram, then definitely there is a big chance of a fall. So it should be avoided. It is very, very dangerous. And such people, those who enter this renounced order of life through sentiments, you know, for them, it is compared this vairagya, this renunciation as markat vairagya. Because just like a monkey, markat is what is a monkey, right? So the monkey also lives in the forest. Monkey also eat fruits and it resembles just like a saint. But the consciousness of that monkey is always thinking of a female monkey to have some kind of sexual intercourse. So this is what is Markat Vairagya, where apparently externally looks like that you are enunciate, but internally the consciousness is towards having sex or indulging in some kind of sex life. And this is what is also known as Falgu Vairagya. Falgu means false. This is a false renunciation. You know, such people, such so-called sannyasis, especially in these days in Kali Yuga, especially in India, we say there are so many false renunciants, right? Externally, they'll show that they are very, very renunciant and they are very, very sincere in their sadhana. But internally, we know the history, you know, so many, I'll not name, but so many of the sannyasis, the so-called sannyasis, they are now behind the bars. It's because they are being exposed. So this is what is Falgu Vairagya, the false renunciation. So Mahaprabhu is warning that don't get into all these kind of false renunciation. If you cannot accept this sannyas ashram, this renounced order of life, then just enter into grahastha ashram. Why artificially and showing yourself that, oh, you are a perfect saint? No need of that. Enter into grahastha. And that's what even Prabhupada said to some of the disciples, where Prabhupada sensed that they cannot carry the sannyas ashram. He told them, no, you should first take care of your family life. Go get married. Enter into grahastha. And later you can always enter vanaprastha and then sannyas. So this is what the right way of is. So this is also known as the Falgu Vairagya. Falgu means false. Because if such sannyasis, those who just show that they are renunciant, you just dig them a little, you just show them some provoking situations and they are out of it, you know, and they just fall into the trap of such provoking situations. So what is the use of such kind of renunciation? So for sannyasi, Prabhupada writes again in his purport that for a sannyasi or anyone, this is the point, it's not only for the sannyasis, but for anyone who is aspiring to get out of the clutches of this material existence and who wants to elevate himself or herself to the spiritual nature, for them, looking towards this material possession for sense gratification is highly condemned. It is condemned to an extent that person should better commit suicide. This is what Prabhupada's write. I repeat his statement. He says, not only for a sannyasi, but anyone who is aspiring to get out of the clutches of material nature and trying to elevate himself or herself to the spiritual nature, for them, looking towards this material possession for sense gratification is highly condemned. To an extent that if a person is, you know, now I'm paraphrasing, that if a person gets into such kind of illicit relationships, then that person should commit suicide. This is what Prabhupada writes. Remember this, because this we'll be going through in the future hours. Oh, it's 11:45 already. Anyways, so that person should commit suicide, should, you know, if that person have any kind of illicit desire. So actually committing suicide in this case is what is the process of purification. So this is what Srila Prabhupada writes in one of the purport of the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Anyways, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after saying that I cannot tolerate the face of such a person, he went back to his room and all the devotees fell silent seeing Mahaprabhu in such an angry mood. So this was the worst that we did. So Mahaprabhu said that I don't want to see the face of Chota Haridas. And then, you know, he entered into his room and he was very, very angry. And then seeing the anger of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees, they felt very silent. So this was the worst that we did. Now moving forward. So, but still, you know, devotees don't give up so easily. They are so much compassionate, you know, they are paradukha dukhi. So next day again, you know, again, all of them together. Last time only Sarup Damodar Goswami went, but this time all of them together, they approached Mahaprabhu to submit an appeal on behalf of Chota Haridas. And they said that Chota Haridas, we know that he has committed some offenses. Therefore, please, please, please be merciful on him. And he had received a sufficient lesson for his fault. And in future, he won't be committing any such kind of offense. But Mahaprabhu, you know, he didn't accept it. And he simply said that, you know, my mind is not under my control. And I do not like to see anyone talking so intimately with any other woman, especially those who are in the renounced order. So this way, you know, he warned everyone that if you come again with an appeal, and I will simply go away and you will not be able to see me again. Now hearing this, all the devotees were stunned. They simply closed their ears with their hands and they said, okay, Mahaprabhu, we are sorry. And then finally they all left back to their respective duties. Now Mahaprabhu also left, you know, to perform his noon duties. But next day, devotees, you know, still they want to throw their another card, you know, that maybe, you know, if this doesn't work, then at least this may work. And, you know, this way they all went to Sri Paramanandapuri and then they requested him to pacify the Lord. Now, who is Paramanandapuri? Why Mahaprabhu will listen to Paramanandapuri? So actually, Madhavendra Puri, he has some disciples, you know, and Ishwarapuri, Advaita Acharya, Paramanandapuri, Ramachandrapuri, these are the few disciples of Madhavendrapuri. Ramachandrapuri, we know the past time that how, you know, in the last days of Madhavendrapuri, he was, you know, he just came up onto the Brahman realization, and Madhavendrapuri was not at all happy, and finally there's a big fall down for Ramachandrapuri. But other disciples like Ishwarapuri and Advaitacharya, Paramanandapuri, they were very good disciples of Sri Madhavendrapuri. So since Paramanandapuri was a disciple of Madhavendrapuri, he was also a god brother of Ishwarapuri. And Ishwarapuri is a spiritual master of our dear Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So since they were on, you know, the god brothers, so Mahaprabhu would always respect Paramanandapuri as one of his Guru Varga, the category of a spiritual master, because they both were Ishwarapuri and Paramanandapuri were the god brothers. So even Mahaprabhu showed great respect to Paramanandapuri and respect him as one of his Guru only, a category of a Guru Varga. So there's one beautiful pastime also in respect to Paramanandapuri, that Paramanandapuri, you know, he built a kuwa, you know, the well on the western side of Jagannath temple. But the water in that well was very, very bitter. And then finally, Mahaprabhu, he prayed to Jagannath and he requested Jagannath that please allow the river Ganga, Mother Ganga, to flow in that well. And from that day, the river Ganga, she flowed in that well, and the water, it became so palatable for drinking purposes. And then Mahaprabhu said that any devotee who would drink or bathe in that water of that well would definitely get the same benefit of bathing in the water of Ganga, Ganges. And such a person would definitely develop love of Godhead. So this was just a pastime on a side note. It was not given in this Chaitanya Charitamrita. I just want to mention. Anyways, next day, Paramanandapuri, on request of all the devotees, he went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he submitted his prayers that please show some favor to Chota Haridas. And then Mahaprabhu, you know, he prayed, he paid his obeisances to Paramanandapuri, and then he offered him a seat, a respectable position to sit. And he heard the appeal, what Paramanandapuri wants to say, that, you know, to show some mercy to Chota Haridas. But Mahaprabhu didn't say anything, because Paramanandapuri Gosai was on a level of a guru. So Mahaprabhu didn't say anything. But then he basically, Mahaprabhu told Paramanandapuri out of great humility that I request you to, you please stay here with all the devotees and I'll go to Alalnath with my servant Govinda. And saying this, Mahaprabhu immediately took up, you know, he got up from the seat and he started walking, and he told Govinda also to come along with him. And this immediate reaction, you know, it simply bewildered Paramanandapuri Gosai, and he simply said, he went forward to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, I know that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you can do whatever you like. Who can say anything above you? All your activities are just for the benefit of people in general, and we cannot understand that through our limited fund of knowledge. So better you stay here and don't go anywhere. I just came to, you know, to submit an appeal. But if you think that it is not befitting, then don't worry. You do whatever you want and the way you want, but stay here. Stay here with the devotees and I'll leave. And saying this, Paramanandapuri Gosai, he left. Then all the devotees, they were very heartbroken because none of their way was working. So finally they went to Chota Haridas and they told him that, see, we tried all our best, but at this time seems like Mahaprabhu's mood is not at all good. He's full of anger. However, we assure you that he will surely be merciful one day, because Mahaprabhu, from his heart, he is very kind. So right now, he is showing his anger, but this anger is just like a boiling milk. So definitely it will come down. Time is the biggest healer. So don't worry. And we assure you that, you know, Mahaprabhu's anger will come down and he'll definitely show his mercy onto you. This anger will subside one day. And thus they told him that, you know, it's better you please accept this punishment, what Mahaprabhu has given to you, and stop fasting, eat nicely, and serve whatever way you can. So this was the instructions that have been given by all the devotees to Chota Haridas. And Chota Haridas accepted it. So in future, whenever Lord Mahaprabhu would go to see Jagannath in the temple, Chota Haridas would stay at a long distance, and from long distance, you know, he will just see and watch and have a distant association with Mahaprabhu. And in this regard, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami very beautiful writes, Mahaprabhu Kripa Sindhu Kipare Bhujite Priya Bhakta Danda Karena Dharma Bhujaite. He says, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the ocean of mercy. Who can understand him? When he chastises his dear devotees, he certainly does to reestablish the principles of religion or duty. So this is the point that we have to understand, that Chota Haridas was used as an instrument in re-establishing the principle of dharma, in re-establishing the principle of duty. And when the chastisement comes from the spiritual master, it should be taken up as a blessing. You know, any disciple who thinks that my guru chastised me and, you know, I'm not going to be surrendered to my spiritual master, that's the worst thing that a disciple can do. Rather, the chastisement of a spiritual master is a blessing in disguise for the disciple, because that helps the disciple to stay focused, to advance more in their spiritual sadhana. So therefore, chastisement from a spiritual master, from the spiritual mentor, it is very, very important, because the blessings come from that chastisement. So this is what even Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, that who can understand the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He is the ocean of mercy, right? And when he chastises his devotees, it is just to reestablish the principles of religion and, of course, for the benefit of the disciple. So in this regard also, Prabhupada writes that the chastisement that was given to Junior Haridas or Chota Haridas was an example for the future Sahijiyas who might, you know, they adopt this dress of renunciant, but from inside, if they secretly have some illicit connections with women, then they should be warned. They should be warned because of this. Because having intimate relationship with women is certainly a category of being hypocrite. So one should not be hypocrite. One should be very sincere, very simple at heart. Whatever is there inside should be there outside. Like just it is said in English, there is a saying, right? That the face is the index of the mind. So that should be actually. That's what a sincere person is. Whatever you are from inside, you are from outside. But internally, if you feel some grudges against anybody and externally you show your smiling face, lullaby, and you know, go on and on, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. You know, that kind of duplicit nature, that kind of hypocrite nature should always be avoided, not only for the renunciant, but for everyone who wants to advance in the spiritual life. So if you really want that internally, your heart should be pure, internally you should not hold any grudges against anybody, then yes, we have to work on it. But it's not that internally having grudges and externally showing smiling faces, that won't work, because whom are we trying to fool? Are we trying to fool ourselves, or we are trying to fool Paramatma, who is sitting inside our heart, who knows in and out of us? So whom are we trying to fool? Definitely we are trying to fool our own self. We cannot fool the Supreme Lord, you know, and consequences are always there. Because if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have not, this is what Prabhupada writes, that if he would have not chastised Junior Haridas for his work, then definitely all the other enunciant will get this kind of so-called, you know, some leniency that they would be exploited. So they will also try to get some kind of illicit connections with women unrestrictedly. So to avoid them and to bring everyone on a very, very strict platform, this whole pastime was enacted and Chota Haridas was used as an instrument in this pastime. So all the devotees basically saw this example and a mentality of fear grew among them. They were so much afraid that even talking to a woman, even in dreams, you know, they stopped. So they were so much afraid by seeing the anger of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that even in dreams they won't talk to any of the women. Anyway, in this way, the full complete year passed and still there were no sign of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showing any mercy to Chota Haridas. And one day Chota Haridas, you know, after paying his obeisances mentally to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he departed and he went to Prayag. And there he became so much aggrieved in separation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he jumped into the river at Triveni, which is the confluence of Ganga and Yamuna, and he finally committed suicide and gave up his life. Now, as soon as he gave up his life, he immediately attained his Siddha Deha, that is his spiritual body as of Gandharva. And in his Siddha Deha, he would serve Mahaprabhu by singing every day, every night for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could hear him singing. Remember, we talked that what was the service of Chota Haridas was just to sing for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So even after committing suicide, he attained his Siddha Deha as a Gandharva. And every night he would serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by singing and Mahaprabhu could hear him. Now, in this regard, you know, committing suicide, actually, it's a very, very serious offense. And none of us, no devotee should even try to attempt to perform this kind of heinous act. Because see, Mother Nature has given this very, very wonderful gift as a form of a human body to all of us. And if we simply whimsically destroy it, then definitely she'll feel very displeased, right? And for a long time, those who commit suicide, because Mother Nature feels so much displeased, she doesn't give another gross body. So that is why it is said that those who commit suicide, actually they wander in a ghost body. They don't get a gross body very easily. However, a devotee's destiny is altogether different because there the Lord intervenes. The equation is not between the material nature and the jiva. But for the devotee, the Lord intervenes and he becomes the mediator between the mother nature and the jiva. So when the Lord desires, anything can happen. So for the devotee, the Lord personally takes care of him. And like we see in this case, how Chota Haridas, he committed suicide, but still he got his Siddha Deha as a Gandharva body. Now, another point to understand is also that in what consciousness one is committing suicide. Chota Haridas committed suicide because he was feeling so much aggrieved, so much separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in that consciousness, he committed suicide. But if somebody commits suicide because they are not able to take up their material duties or material responsibilities and liabilities, and they are frustrated. So if out of some material frustration, if somebody commits suicide, which is definitely never and never at no point recommended, then definitely, you know, the Mother Nature doesn't provide any gross body and they have to dwell into the body of a ghost. But, you know, special case happens with the devotees that when Lord intervenes, but still, nevertheless, a devotee should never commit suicide because we don't know on what level we are. How many of us consider ourselves even to be a devotee? So we cannot give this kind of excuse that I was a devotee and I can commit suicide. No, never. We are simply aspiring to become a devotee. That's our mood. So you know, we don't know whether the Lord will really intervene into this or not, or whether we'll be simply dwelling in the ghost body. So, but rather our mind, our consciousness, our activities should always and always be that, yes, problems will come, frustrations will come, but so what? If the happiness is not permanent, then definitely this distress, this sorrow, and this frustration, this will also not be permanent. So let's face it. Face it in the mood that, yes, Krishna is giving me this. Krishna is giving me this problem. Maybe he wants to teach me some lesson. And for sure, be assured that Krishna will also give us the strength to bear this problem. And definitely have faith, have conviction that Krishna will take care of us. So in that mood, bear everything and continue to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. That's what the instructions is being given to us by our Guru workers. Anyway, coming back to our Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So then one day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he inquired from his devotees. See, every night he was hearing Haridas, you know, even after he committed suicide, he got this Siddha Deha of Gandharva. He used to sing for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu would hear him every night. But still, you know, he inquired one day from his devotees, where is Haridas? And you may bring him now. Then the devotee said that, you know, one night at the end of full year, junior Haridas, he got up, he went away, and no one knows where he went and where he has gone. And after hearing this, the devotees, while hearing the devotees lamenting in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very, very mildly, he started smiling, and devotees were astonished. Why Mahaprabhu is smiling? Because Mahaprabhu knows that what Chota Haridas has done, and how he even got, even being provided as Siddha Deha, his spiritual body. But still, you know, he was smiling because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew actually what happened. But the devotees, they were bewildered, they were astonished. They don't know why Mahaprabhu was smiling. And then one day, you know, Jagananda, Swarupa, Govinda, Kashishwara, Shankara, Mukunda, you know, they all went to bathe in the sea, and there they could hear Haridas singing from a very, very distance place. You know, they could hear the singing of Haridas, and no one could understand that how could they hear this sweet singing of Haridas? Where is he? And finally, they jumped on to a conclusion that, you know, Haridas has committed suicide by drinking some poison. And because of the sinful act, he has become a ghost. And now in that ghost body, he is simply singing. So because they couldn't see any material form of Haridas Thakur, but they could just hear from a distance some sweet singing of Haridas. So they jumped on to this conclusion, and this Swarup Damodar Goswami, he really felt very bad, and he protested that stop speculating things. Don't make such kind of false guesses. After all, Chota Haridas, he chanted Hare Krishna Maha Mantra through his entire life, and he served Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And moreover, you know, he's so much dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And even if he died in a holy place. So how could he can get a ghost body? Stop speculating and don't make such kind of false guesses. Haridas was not degraded. He has definitely attained some kind of liberation. This is just a pastime that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is performing, and we will able to understand it later. That's what Swarup Damodar Goswami said. So then, you know, after some days, one of the devotees, he came from Navadvip. He returned actually to Navadvip from Prayag. And there he told that, you know, he came to know that Chota Haridas has committed suicide. And then he explained that how in the rivers of the Triveni, you know, this Chota Haridas has committed suicide, and Shivas Thakur heard this, and somehow he got very much surprised. And then Shivas Thakur, he just went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri, and then he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where is Chota Haridas? Then Lord replied, a person is sure to achieve the results of the fruitive activities. Karma comes back. That's what Mahaprabhu replied, that a person is sure to achieve the results of one's activities. And then Shivas Thakur related the whole pastime, that how somebody from Navadvip, he went to Prayag, and then from Prayag, he came back to Navadvip. And then he told that Chotavidas has committed suicide in the water of Ganges and Yamuna at the Sangam of that Triveni in Prayag. And then Mahaprabhu, when he heard all these details, he still smiled and he said that if with sensual intentions one looks at a woman, then the only process is of atonement is to commit suicide. So this is what even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying. I'll read the Bengali. Suni Prabhu hasi kahe suprasanna chitta. Suni Prabhu, when he heard this, hasi kahe, he mildly started smiling. And suprasanna chitta, he was feeling very pleasant at heart. And through that he said, prakriti darshana kaile. Those who intimately get attached to a woman in illicit form, ei prayaschita. This is the only way to do atonement, and that is to commit suicide. Then all the devotees headed by Swarup Damodar Goswami, they concluded that yes, Haridas Thakur, Haridas, Chota Haridas has committed suicide. And finally and ultimately, he has achieved the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kaviraj Goswami writes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than the son of Mother Sachi, who is Sachira Nandana, he performs his pastimes, which greatly satisfies the ears and the minds of the pure devotees who hear them. And then Kaviraj Goswami says that it also, that the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are like nectar and they are so much deep like an ocean. People in general cannot understand them, but a sober devotee can understand them. And then Kaviraj Goswami warns in one of his verse, he says, please hear the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with faith and confidence. Do not argue. The arguments will produce a contrary result. So we should not argue, rather we should accept these pastimes as an instructions for all of us. As an instruction, we should accept it with faith and confidence, and we should not argue with all this. And to summarize, this Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami himself writes seven instructions that one can have after hearing this katha of Chota Haridas. I know I'm over time, but I'll take another 5 minutes and finish it off. So first lesson is that although Sri Chaitanya, I'm just reading this now, although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is an incarnation of mercy, he nevertheless gave up the company of one of his personal associates, Chota Haridas, for he has not done so, then pseudo devotees would have taken advantage of this Chota Haridas' fault and may have just, you know, indulged in some kind of illicit sex. So this is the first lesson that, you know, Mahaprabhu is giving through this pastime of Chota Haridas, that though Mahaprabhu is an incarnation of mercy, but still through this lesson of Chota Haridas, he is teaching all the devotees that do not engage in illicit sex connections. This is really going to ruin one's spiritual life. The second is that by chastising Haridas, Junior Haridas, the Lord set the standard for the Acharyas, that this is the standard. And then, you know, you should, especially if you are in this Chaitanya cult, you are propagating Chaitanya cult, then, you know, you should really follow the standard, whatever Mahaprabhu is setting of being a first-class renunciate. Remind me in this, I'll just share one of the pastime with my Guru Maharaj if I forget. Coming back to the third one. The third is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed that a pure devotee should be very simple and should be free from sinful activities. For thus he can be a bona fide servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the third instructions The fourth is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to prove that his devotees are exalted and their character is ideal. He kindly accepts his faithful devotees and teaches them that no matter how much tribulation and disturbance can be produced, but even a slight deviation from one's rules and regulations from principles can bring a havoc in one's devotional life. The fifth is, by chastising junior Haridas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his mercy towards him. That how, showing that how elevated was Chota Haridas. Though he committed suicide, but still, you know, Mahaprabhu intervened and gave him his Siddhadiya. Lord corrected him for his slight offense that was committed by him. And sixth is, if one dies in such a celebrated holy place as Prayag, Mathura or Vrindavan, one can be relieved of the reactions of sinful life and thus can attain the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Last but not the least, the seventh is that although a pure or faithful devotee may fall down, he nevertheless ultimately gets the chance to go home back to Godhead by the mercy of the Lord. So this is the point that we should also try to understand, that yes, you know, there are, you know, in this regard, I know it might sound some controversial topic, but still it's my humble request that, you know, we should try to understand that there were some sannyasis, there were some disciples of Srila Prabhupada who looks like who apparently fall down and they got involved into illicit connections. But we are nowhere, no one to judge them. Their falling down, don't know why and how. So we should not try to judge their activities. Rather, we should remind ourselves and correct our own selves rather than commenting or judging on any of the sannyasis. So we should try to restrict ourselves from such kind of judgment, because this is what Kaviraj Goswami writes. This is not, I am not writing, this is Kaviraj Goswami is writing, and this is what Srila Prabhupada himself is writing in his purport, that even though a devotee may fall down, but if the mercy of Lord is there, then nevertheless, they will go home back to Godhead. So if we start judging and commenting on such people, then we are ruining our own spiritual life. So better, you know, just try to keep a track and note of it, that, you know, even if we hear of such things, we should close our ears. No need to even hear about those who have committed some grave offenses in such kind of, you know, life. If they are pure devotees, why it happened to them, how it happened to them, let that equation be between them and Krishna. Intervening ourselves into that equation is simply we'll be some kind of a variable number where we'll not hold any position in that equation, and rather holding any position will ruin our spiritual life. So, you know, some thoughts always comes that, you know, why it happened, how it happened, just leave it to them and Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has taken care for many of them and will take care and will be taking care in future also. So please, please, please don't make this kind of offense by commenting on such kind of Vaishnavas. Like we all know, we always recite every day that it's a biggest offense. It's a mad elephant offense if we criticize a Vaishnava. Because those days when Prabhupada was all alone, there were few sannyasis, you know, there were few Westerners who helped Srila Prabhupada at that time when nobody was there with Prabhupada. And they accepted, even though it was for a short time, but at least they accepted Srila Prabhupada's teachings. At least they followed this con culture. They grew in their spiritual life. Later what happened, we are no one to judge, we are no one to say anything. But just remember the good. When no one was there with Srila Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was all by himself at the age of 17, nobody was taking care of him, he was all by himself. At that time, these few Westerners, they came forward and they helped Srila Prabhupada in growing up this mission of which we are proud of today. So they were helping Srila Prabhupada at that time. So definitely, you know, Prabhupada is such a pure devotee, he won't let their help go in waste. He is totally indebted to them, right? So we should also develop that kind of mood, that we should be really, you know, I'll still say we should always keep a track on it, that please, please, please never ever try to criticize a Vaishnava. And even if you hear any kind of criticism, just walk away from that place. Just walk away. That's the only way we can be rest assured that we will be able to safeguard our spiritual life. I'm sorry I took 15 minutes over time, but I really want to finish off. So with this note, we finished this whole chapter today. And we'll begin the next chapter, which is the glories of Haridas Thakur, tomorrow. So thank you all so much for patiently.
Can you finish off the pastime? Oh, sorry, you got muted. Can you finish off the pastime with Bhakti Charu Maharaj? You want to say
something? Yeah, I was just telling. Thank you for reminding that. Yeah, so this point, you know, I was saying that how a person may be on such an elevated situation, but still, you know, this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to prove that his devotees are exalted and that their character is ideal. But still, you know, he kindly accepts his faithful devotees and teaches them that how much tribulation and disturbance can be produced by even a slight deviation from the strict principles of devotional life. So in this regard, I was just reminded of one of the pastime of my Guru Maharaj. He was in D-Land and we went to meet Guru Maharaj. It was not a retreat. It was just an informal meeting. We went, few of the disciples, we went. So at that time, you know, me and one of my god sister, she wasn't at that time. She was aspiring. She wasn't initiated at that time. So we all went together and she wants to talk something with Guru Maharaj. And I told Guru Maharaj that, you know, we wanted to talk to you. And Maharaj said that, you know, you can come to my room. And then we knocked and we went inside. So it was me and that Mataji. We both were there. And now just see the way Guru Maharaj deal with. Guru Maharaj asked, only you two are there? And I said, yes, Maharaj, we want to talk to you. She doesn't want to talk in front of her husband. So she wants to talk. Now, our relationship with our Guru Maharaj is just like a father and a daughter, right? We are just daughters in front of Guru Maharaj. But still, you know what Guru Maharaj said? Can you go and call any brahmachari? And I just went and I just saw one brahmachari and I said that, can you come? And then he came and Guru Maharaj told, you sit here. And then in front of brahmachari, Guru Maharaj talked to both of us. So this was the example. When I was reading this, it got, at that time I was not able to understand that why Guru Maharaj couldn't talk just directly to both of us. Why he called one of the brahmachari to sit and in front of him, he wanted to talk. So this is how, you know, he showed by his example that, you know, he was on such an elevated platform, but still, just so that others cannot point fingers on him, he took up this thing in his mind that I'm not going to talk to both of you in private. I really want that some brahmachari should be present there while I talk to you. So this is the standard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has established, and this is the standard that all the spiritual leaders that in the disciplic line are following till now. So I just want to share that. So thank you. Thank you so much, Preeti Vasani, for reminding.
Thank you, Mataji. And now I know that towards the end, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has given a very strong warning that one should not doubt or something like that. But I have a big confusion now. And I have so many questions. I've listed the questions, like almost like 10, 12 questions now from the class and this chapter. So I just want to ask, of course, in a humble mode, not that I'm doubting the things or something like that, but definitely I want clarification in various ways to understand the pastime better. So let me start asking the questions. And most of these questions or this confusion is geared towards
the unfortunate situation of suicide. But anyhow, I'll go step by step. So the first thing is, of course, at one point there were some other noises at home. So I missed a few words that you spoke. Like, for example, I don't know if you mentioned the actual Swarupa or identity of Chota Haridas from Garganadesh Deepika. Who was he actually?
Gandharva. He was a Gandharva.
That's one? Okay.
That's all. I don't know. Maybe I have to check. Yeah. Like, you want to say in Krishna Leela or what?
Yeah, maybe Garganadesh Deepika does the comparison, right? Like his exact identity.
That I have to check. Maybe you can go ahead with the next part.
Okay, because then the other questions are also somewhat related. So the next question is, that's why the related question is then how can a Gandharva Deha be a Siddha Deha? Because if it's a Siddha Deha, he has to attain a spiritual body. Why did he even take a Gandharva body? So that is like an attached question to this.
Whether it is being mentioned about...
Because we also see that he's an eternal associate, and this is being repeated again and again that he's an eternal associate. So what sort of eternal associate was he? I mean, that is the question.
So categorizing Gandharvas, those who live in that Gandharva Loka.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think so. That is the point. It's not that Vrindavan, the Goloka Vrindavan, is bereft of Gandharvas.
Mm-hmm.
That point we have to keep in mind. This is not talking about those Gandharvas who are staying in that Gandharva Loka, who is on the material plane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Vrindavan, the Golok Vrindavan, is also not bereft of Gandharvas. So he is, again, I'm not sure that, but he might be one of those Gandharvas. That's why it is said that he was an eternal associate of Mahaprabhu.
Okay. Yeah, that is good then. Because then that can only be a Siddha Deha. Because I was thinking, how can it be a Siddha Deha? I mean, if it's just going, becoming a Gandharva and invisibly coming and singing. Yeah.
So, no, I can't find in Garganesh Deepika that who was he in Krishna Leela.
Okay. The second thing is, you were talking about a purport of Srila Prabhupada saying that it's better to suicide, but in this world today, everyone is using a free license to suicide. And suicide, again, we've seen so many purports of Srila Prabhupada that suicide is the worst thing you can do to yourself. And you also did explain that. But somehow, after reading this chapter in so much detail, where so many points are given, so if a person has if a person by chance is in the renounced order or any other order has a different sensual attraction towards someone, then will everyone go and commit suicide? I mean, I know you said that you did mention, I remember you did mention that this is not a license for us to commit suicide because we are not perfected or our absorption is not so good. But then devotees, there are so many devotees who have served day and night thinking that their absorption is good, wouldn't they be suiciding? I mean, I am really a little disturbed by this whole thing because... I don't know how to put my question also.
But still, first of all, the suicide is not the answer. We should never even try to attempt to do such kind of things. And no matter on whichever platform we are, day in and out we are serving, but still suicide is not the answer for any kind of problem. So that should definitely not be committed. Now, why Mahaprabhu said that, the best thing is to commit suicide, actually even Prabhupada mentions that there are three ways. If somebody is chastising a Vaishnava and you are present there, and or you yourself have committed some kind of sinful activities, especially in the case of hearing if somebody is simply saying ill-famy about a Vaishnava, if somebody is blaspheming a Vaishnava, Prabhupada writes in his purport that either you should walk away, that's the first thing. Second, you can counteract. Third thing is you can commit suicide. So it is mentioned in the scripture, but these days, as you said yourself, that committing suicide, people just take an advantage of it. Just left, right, center, you just cannot commit suicide. That's not the ideal way to leave. So better is to leave that place. You cannot counteract, leave that place. Similarly, if you have committed some kind of grievous offenses, then as Mahaprabhu said that, you know, he did right. He committed suicide. That's the only way he could have done the atonement. And that's what Chota Haridas did. But at the same time, we have to understand that this is not the right mood. If we have ever committed any kind of grievous offenses, you know, we are not on a very pure platform, right? So the best thing is to chant. Chant and do certain kind of austerities and keep on praying to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Keep on praying to Nityananda Prabhu. Because through chanting, like it is said, that through chanting we can remove any kind of sin we have performed in our past life. There is a verse also in Srimad Bhagavatam that describes that the results of chanting is such that it can mitigate all kind of sinful reactions, even for those which have not been, you cannot even think of committing such kind of sinful actions that a chanting of Maha Mantra can remove. So we should try to follow this. Again, as Kaviraj Goswami said, that, you know, we should not doubt about this pastime. Now, why Chota Haridas committed suicide and still he got his spiritual body, still he was not in the ghost body? Let that equation be between Krishna, between Lord Mahaprabhu and Chota Haridas, because Krishna himself intervenes in the life of the devotees. But for us, we should try to understand that suicide is definitely not to any of the problem, to any of the distress or any kind of any situations. Suicide is never, never, never a solution.
Okay. Thanks, Mataji. Your answer kind of made it better, definitely. Thank you so much. My thing is, like, you know, when you read the Bhagavatam about Brahma giving up his body after every time, meaning he gave up his mentality, they described, mm-hmm. right? So after every time, even he created something negative, even after he ran behind work, whatever it may be. So he gives up that mentality and he takes up. That's how Bhagavatam describes suicide, right? So mm-hmm. my question is, then shouldn't people understand that? I'm not talking about Chota Haridas here, because I understand he was definitely in the personal association of Lord Chaitanya and he could do something and still he could be benefited in various ways. I'm just talking about common people today. Then shouldn't they just give up that mentality and just chant? That was actually the hidden question that the intended question that I wanted to ask, and thanks for that answer.
Give up that mentality. Better than to commit suicide.
Yeah, and the other thing is, this was also a little more confusing to me, because devotees, we also see that in the case of yesterday also we were hearing about the pastime of Kala Krishnadas, who had accompanied Lord Chaitanya, and later he ran behind the Bhattadris, and then later, of course, Chaitanya said, I don't want to do anything with him. But the devotees were so merciful. They engaged him in the service of Sachi Devi, and so much benefit. And then we also get the lesson that even if the Lord rejects a person, the devotee should go and encourage that person, right? So then here also we see that, of course, the devotees were trying so hard to encourage him, but I don't know, it just turned out futile. But why? I don't know.
Yeah, so thank you for bringing up that point, Mataji. I really want to draw parallel with the Chota Haridas pastime and Kala Krishnadas. So Kala Krishnadas was a disciple of Nityananda Prabhu. Okay, and Nityananda Prabhu only requested Mahaprabhu, because Mahaprabhu was going on to the South India tour and he doesn't want to take any of his disciples. And then Nityananda Prabhu told that, please take Kala Krishnadas, at least he will help you in carrying your water pot and your sannyasa. So you should taking care of your clothes and all, you know. So you should take Kala Krishnadas. And Kala Krishnadas was a disciple of Nityananda Prabhu. And so Mahaprabhu, being requested by Nityananda Prabhu, he accepted it. And later when Mahaprabhu went for the South India tour, he saw that Kala Krishna Das has been attracted to that ladies, and practically he was, literally he was out. Kala Krishna Das was totally involved in those ladies and he forgot Mahaprabhu. And it is said that Mahaprabhu literally grabbed Kala Krishna Das out from the clutches of those women and he brought him back to Nityananda Prabhu and he told that from now onwards, I don't want to see him and here is Kala Krishna Das and now you take care of him. So the answer that is being given that this was Kala Krishna Das was literally into that illicit sex, okay, into that illicit relationship. But still Mahaprabhu brought him back by holding him. But here Chota Haridas, who was the direct disciple of Mahaprabhu, but still, and he didn't, you know, externally he didn't do any kind of illicit, he didn't have any kind of illicit relationships. But still Mahaprabhu didn't forgive him. So the answer that has been given is that Chota Haridas Thakur was the direct disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whereas Kala Krishna Das was a disciple of Nityananda Prabhu. So here the example has been said that Krishna cannot do anything if the Guru is merciful. If Guru is merciful, then Krishna leaves it up to the spiritual master. Even though the disciple is the third class disciple or the most fallen disciple. But if the Guru is merciful onto that disciple, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, then through his example, he said that Krishna doesn't intervene because he leave it everything onto the spiritual master. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he brought Kala Krishna Das and he just threw it in front of Nityananda Prabhu that here is your disgust. His disciple, and this is what all he did, and I don't want to see his face again, and you just take care of him. But Nityananda Prabhu, being the magnanimous of the Lord, what he did, that he chastised Kala Krishna Das, but then he, because Kala Krishna Das was feeling so much, you know, he was heartbroken and he felt, he repented a lot of his actions. And so Nityananda Prabhu said, okay, still, you know, though Mahaprabhu doesn't want to see you, but still I'll engage you in the some service because I really want you, that this is the mood of a guru, right? The guru, even though the disciple performs such heinous activities, still guru says, okay, I really want you to bring you back so that you don't get drift away from Krishna consciousness. So the guru becomes lenient and try to engage the same disciple, that disgusted disciple, into some kind of service that some spiritual growth can happen. And therefore Nityananda Prabhu engaged Kala Krishna Das. When Mahaprabhu came back to Puri, there was the news that was supposed to send to all the Navadvip Pasis that Mahaprabhu is back in Puri from his South India tour so that disciples from Bengal can come and see Mahaprabhu. So Kala Krishna Das was used as a messenger, that he went and he indirectly he served Mahaprabhu by passing on this message to Mother Sachi Devi, to Advaita Acharya and all the other Bengali devotees, to pass on this message that Mahaprabhu is back in Puri. And this way, you know, indirectly still he was engaged, but it is all because of the mercy of the Nityananda Prabhu. And that's what it is mentioned, that, you know, the spiritual master, the importance of spiritual master is also being highlighted in this point, that spiritual master really want all of his disciples, even though they may be into a third or fourth or tenth class disciple, but still the spiritual master want that all my disciples should be engaged somehow or the other, yena kena prakarena, somehow or other be engaged in Krishna's service. So that's the point.
That was beautiful and very, very clear. And I was also reminded of Srila Prabhupada, some of the memories of Srila Prabhupada, how Prabhupada very gladly accepted some of his devotees and he blessed them that they could continue very nicely even after having an apparent deviation. He was so happy to take them back. So that is definitely the mercy of a spiritual master. I mean, very nicely said, Mataji. It makes a lot of sense. So it is so important to be under the shelter of a spiritual master than be directly under the shelter of Krishna. Surely, yes, yes. And
I remember this regard, Prana Govinda Prabhu, I just heard his class recording. He said that this is what the right understanding is, that you should understand.
I know, yeah.
spiritual master. You should stand under the shelter. This is the understanding point. So this was really nice.
And the next question, sorry, I'm just taking up all the time for questions, but I really want to get it done. I will surely leave you in a minute and then the others can take over. What did I write down? So you were saying, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it is just karma, and meaning like whatever the karma is that one has to undergo. So then what was that hidden message that he said if he was not a ghost, okay? Because then Swarupramato chastised people and said, he's not a ghost, he's attained a Siddha Deha. Then what do we mean by karma there? What did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu intend to mean when he said karma?
No, like he said that when Shivas Thakur, he came and he asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, though Shivas Thakur came to know, right, from one of the devotee, this Chothari Das has committed suicide by entering into the rivers of Triveni. But still, Shivas Thakur, he came back to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and inquired, where is Haridas? Where is Junior Haridas? And then Lord replied that a person is sure to achieve the results of his fruitive activities. So this is what Mahaprabhu trying to say is that since he has done some kind of heinous activities, so definitely it's not that he has become a ghost. That's not what point of what that was not the point of Mahaprabhu. But he just want to see that say that if you have done something wrong, then you have to bear the consequences. And what Mahaprabhu wants to bring up this point, as per my limited understanding, is that he wants to tell Shivas Thakur that since he disappointed me by not following the rules and regulations that I have laid down, so definitely he'll never be under my shelter. And so I, banished him. So that point Mahaprabhu told that I have banished Chothari Das and I don't know where he is, but definitely because he performed some activity, so he has to bear the consequences. And so I don't know where is he. Though internally Mahaprabhu knows, but externally he told to Shivas Thakur that, everybody has to bear their own karma. He offended me not following my orders, so I banished him and now he's on his own. And later Shivas Thakur told that this is what I'm hearing. And then Mahaprabhu simply smiled and he said, okay, if he has committed suicide, then this is the best atonement he could do.
Okay. And is there anywhere, under a written thing that actually this Chothari Das was a disciple of Lord Chaitanya?
Yeah, I have not come across, but this is what I heard, that, he was the disciple of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself accepted him as one of his disciples.
Okay. And so that part of where Shivas Thakur gets to know, can you just repeat that portion again? Because again, I didn't hear that portion fully.
So what happened is when all these people were making all kind of these guesses that, he has committed suicide and he has become a ghost. At that time, Swarup Damodar Goswami, he chastised all the other devotees that don't make these all kind of false guesses. He has been chanting, he was serving Mahaprabhu, so definitely he won't become a ghost. That won't be his destination. So later, what happened was that one of the devotees, from Navadvip, he went to Prayag. And when he went to Prayag, he came to know that how Chothari Das has committed suicide. So that devotee, he came back to Navadvip and he told the whole story to Shivas Thakur, that Chothari Das was this way, he offended and, he was banished and then he went to Prayag and he finally drowned himself and he committed suicide. So this was the information that was given by one of the devotee to Shivas Thakur. And then later Shivas Thakur was so much bewildered and so much astonished that how come, what exactly he had done and, how come Lord has banished him and then on top of that he committed suicide. So he was quite bewildered. So people, like we read in the first chapter also, that people used to come from Bengal to Puri to meet Mahaprabhu. So at that time, at the end of the year, Shivas Thakur also came
from Puri, from Navadvip to Puri to Mahaprabhu. And late, when he came to Mahaprabhu, at that time Shivas Thakur asked this question from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that where is your disciple, that junior Haridas? And then Lord replied that, you know, he has achieved the results of all his activities he did. But then Shivas Thakur told that this is what I heard, that, you know, Haridas, Chota Haridas has committed suicide in that Triveni River. And then Mahaprabhu was very happy hearing this, though Mahaprabhu internally knew what had happened, but since there was no literal any kind of confirmation externally given, so Shivas Thakur was the one who gave this externally, who gave this confirmation to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that this is what I heard, that he has entered into that water of Ganges and Yamuna. And then hearing this, Mahaprabhu felt really very happy. And he said, oh, okay, he became really very happy. And he said that, yes, if somebody does or get involved into some kind of illicit relationships, then this is the only process of attainment, to commit suicide. So this is what the whole thing meant. So Mahaprabhu came to know from Shivas Thakur.
And the Navadvip Vasi was the first one to go and give the news that he was dead. He was the first one who got to know about the suicide case.
Yeah. Because he went to Prayag and he came to know that what all happened with Haridas.
Oh, okay. Okay, one final application question and I'll stop with that. Mataji, so now you said about the Guru and you said about Krishna, how the Guru is more merciful. Now, what if the Guru itself rejects us?
Exactly. If the Guru rejects, then there is no hope for the disciple. Then definitely Krishna won't accept it. That's the underlying one line answer, that if Guru rejects, period, there is no hope for the disciple.
So there is no hope for devotional service also?
For the devotional service, if the Guru avagya, the following not the orders of spiritual master and blaspheming one spiritual master, or if the Guru rejects a disciple, there is no hope for the disciple. Literally no hope.
Even after the birth, after birth?
Birth after birth, I don't know. But for the present birth, maybe that person may get, you know, into some kind of body, or may not be into a human form of body, and then the evolution process takes place. Then he may come on to that human body. That's a separate thing, because it is also said that swalpasya dharmasya, right? Prayate mahatobhya, that even a small amount of devotional service, it doesn't get into waste. So maybe in the next life, birth after birth, there is some hope. But in the present life, if the Guru is offended, then there is no hope for the disciple. No hope at all.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you. It was quite an intense class and thank you for taking it up and covering it nicely. And as I always say, when you speak, I listen, meaning I really listen. So thank you. Thank you for this. It was very needed. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. And I'm sorry to hold up everybody. You all can go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. A very nice class. So I have one question. So if Chota Haridas already knows that he will get into, like, you know, trouble by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu if he talks to, like, women, then why did he even talk to women if he already knows that he will get in trouble? And, like, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows that, like, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will get to know that he talked to women.
Very beautiful point, Anshu. The thing is that it has two answers. One is for the devotee aspect, next is as a materialistic aspect. If a materialistic man, he knows that, you know, this is a sinful act, then why I am committing? He knows in his heart that this is wrong. I'm talking about a non-devotee, a materialistic person. So to that, Bhagavad Gita gives the answer. Krishna, even Arjuna asked this question, that if somebody knows that this is a sinful action, then why that person is, why that person commits that action? And Krishna gives the answer that it is lust only, Arjuna. It is because of the lust that is seated in the heart of that person that, you know, that basically intensify the desire in that person, and that person tries to commit any kind of sinful actions. So this is in regard to a non-devotee. Whereas in the regard to devotees, those devotees who are having an intimate relationship with the Supreme Personality, those who are eternal associates, for them committing any kind of such acts is just that they are used as an instrument for the example to be set in for the future generation. Just like Arjuna. Arjuna is an eternal associate of Lord Shri Krishna. But why, how come we see in Bhagavad Gita that the conches are blown and everything, and everybody, even he himself was so much excited to have this war, and he prepared himself with the war, but still he was used and as an instrument that right when before the battlefield of Kurukshetra started, he got bewildered. He was put into that position that he got bewildered and he said, okay, now I'm not going to fight. And so many confusion arose in his mind. So he was used as an instrument. Now, in this case of Chotaridas, he was the direct disciple of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? So definitely he knows what the rules and regulation is there laid by his spiritual master, laid by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But his being attracted mentally, not physically, but mentally, he being attracted to a woman is just that he's been used as an instrument for Mahaprabhu for the future generation to know that what is the real standard.
Okay, so I have a second question. So, like, does that mean that if they talk to another woman, they will get into another trouble or something? Or can we talk to women in that stage then?
Okay, the thing is, talking to a woman, like I gave you the examples, like our Guru Vargas, they talk to women, isn't it? They initiate. Yeah. They talk to the woman, but at the same time, there is a kind of a distance that is being maintained by the woman disciple and the sannyasa guru. Okay, there is always that's why I gave the example of my own spiritual master. I was just like a daughter for my spiritual master, and I was an initiate disciple of my guru, of my Gurudev. But still, when it comes to a point of talking to me in seclusion, he avoided that. Because he doesn't want that, you know, this standard should be set in that, okay, she is my disciple and I can talk freely to my disciple. No, he still wants that another brahmachari should sit in that conversation. If not brahmachari, you know, whenever I approach personally, you know, my Gurudev will always love that my husband should, come together and we both should sit. There should be some men before Guru Maharaj talks directly to me or to any of the female disciples.
Yeah, so, I've seen that.
But when we are in the preaching movement, Srila Prabhupada has so many female disciples where Srila Prabhupada used to talk to all of them, and they were on such an advanced stage. Srila Prabhupada would discuss them about the strategies he wants to bring them, and he wants to bring forward in his con, how to grow. You know, he used to send his female disciples, but at the same time, there was a distance that was being maintained by Srila Prabhupada and the female disciples. Like Mother Yamuna, she used to personally cook for Srila Prabhupada. But when it comes to serving, definitely, you know, there will be some brahmacharis or some male disciples of Srila Prabhupada who would help in serving.
Yeah. Okay, so you're saying that you can, you can talk to them, but you should be kind of like limited, like you can't talk
movement, right? So we cannot be in a biased thing that okay, the sannyasis are only going to preach to men and not to women. That's not because the Bhagavad Gita teaches that we are not the body and we are the soul. So when it comes to the preaching movement, you know, we should adhere to this principle that we have to preach everybody, no matter what. Like, why to talk only about the sannyasis getting involved into all kind of, you know, these things? Why not me myself? Even I, when I go for a book distribution, I also give books. this is not only for the males, this is for the females also, that even I go and distribute books to some men.
Yeah.
But maintain a distance, you know, don't approach them in seclusion. So that is the point. The consciousness should be there, and you know, the mood should be right, that you should not approach in seclusion. You should always, that's why even Prabhupada says that whenever somebody goes and knocks to the door and goes from door-to-door book distribution, make sure that there is one male and one female. Both of you should go together so that you don't know who is going to open the door. Be cautious, right? So
yeah. Yeah, thank you very much, Mataji. Your classes are very nice when I listen to them.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much. So nicely you explained, and then question answer session also. It was very nice. Always very inspiring in your class. Mataji, I have one question. Mahaprabhu rejected Haridas Chota Haridas Thakur. Then this question is always in my mind. Mahaprabhu is so merciful to the fallen, even though so fallen, you know, Patita Pahavana, we say. And then which sense he is merciful to the fallen? Means one sense he is so merciful to the fallen, other sense so many times we see he is very strict in so many things. Means how we can understand his mercifulness, Mataji?
Very good question, Anjana Gopika Mataji, and a very insightful question, I should say. Yes, Mahaprabhu is Patita Pavan and he is the most munificent incarnation ever. But at the same time, so that people like us don't take undue advantage of his merciful nature, Mahaprabhu depicted these pastimes. So that we don't say that, okay, I can go to any extent and Mahaprabhu is going to protect me. No way. Mahaprabhu also had some principles, some rules and regulations laid down that at least bare minimum follow them. Krishna says, follow it 100%. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraj. You have to just surrender unto me and me only. But Mahaprabhu says that even if you don't surrender 100%, but it. That's why it is said, right? The example is being given that if you have to approach an examination, then you have to write whatever you write, you'll get that much marks. That is what Krishna's justice is. If you write 70% of your exam correctly, you'll get 70%. And if you write 40%, you'll get 40%. You know, give and take. That is what Krishna's justice works. Mahaprabhu's justice works is that you have to come and write your exam. Don't worry whether you are writing right or you are writing wrong. At least come and write your examination paper and then, you know, I'll see it accordingly. So you have to write. Means you have to follow the principles. You have to follow the rules and regulations to get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he is little more lenient than Krishna. Then comes our dear Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu says, forget about answering any question. Just come and appear for the exam. So means that you have to follow the process of appearing. Means at least follow the process of ISKCON. Follow the process of worshipping Gauranga and Nityananda. So Nityananda Prabhu says, just come. Come, write your name on the answer sheet. Don't worry about writing right or wrong. Don't even write anything and I'll take care. But our dear Srila Prabhupada, that's what I was answering to Preeti Vilasni's question, is that spiritual master is such that he says, don't even come to appear. Don't even appear in the examination hall to write the paper, but have a sincere desire of writing a examination paper. So remotely, if you have just a desire to write a question paper, to write an answer of that question paper, to appear in that examination hall, even if you're mentally thinking of it, spiritual master will take care. So he is so munificent. He is Sakshad Hari. Spiritual master is the God who will take you to the Supreme Lord. So that is the answer, Mataji, that one hand, Mahaprabhu is very, very merciful, but still he has some rules and regulations. But Nityananda Prabhu is much more merciful. And our Gurudev is the only shelter, only and only shelter. Gurudev is the only shelter with which we can progress in our spiritual life.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Mataji, if you allow me, I just want to share regarding your Priti Vilasini was asking the last question. That Guru Abhagya or something she was asking. Yes, I heard from Guru Maharaj's lecture, if we get Sadguru in this lifetime, but if you are not, if you are committing offenses or if you are doing something to, means if you are not listening or sitting to Guru, life after life also, yeah, will not get the Sadguru again, you know. That was I heard, Mataji.
Wow. Thank you, Anjanam Gopika Mataji. So people are asking, Mataji, see how grievous offense it is to, if the Guru is offended, life after life, you don't get a Sadguru.
I don't know, Mataji. I don't know. I really don't know what to do. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Anjanam Gopika Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Yeah, that is things. Even though Mahaprabhu is very merciful, we should not take granted his mission. What wanted to show, I think. Yes, Mataji?
Yes, we should not take granted of his merciful nature.
Thank you, Mataji.
In the 10 offenses, we read, you know, the easiest offense to recite is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master, the third offense. It's the easiest to recite, but it's the most difficult to follow. Much more than the first offense, that is the Vaishnava Aparad. Much more than that. Vaishnava Aparad, I'll say still to a certain extent one can mitigate by serving a Vaishnava, by falling into the feet of a Vaishnava, by drinking the water that has been washed the feet of that Vaishnava, by accepting some remnants of food from that Vaishnava, by begging that Vaishnava, by chanting, you know, so many ways, still there is a hope of mitigating that Vaishnava Aparad. But when it comes to disobeying the orders of the spiritual master, there is no hope, no hope at all. Okay. Anything else? It's already 1 o'clock. Anyone else want to say anything, want to add anything?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Mataji, such a wonderful class, Mataji. So much of information, you know, to take. Lots and lots of information, but you put it so nicely, Mataji. So finally, I try to understand, Mataji, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to set a mark that nobody is going to deviate it in any situation. So he wants to set a strong mark. So you used Chota Haridas in that way. And Mataji, actually from the negative characters, we learn more. Actually, the part where the negative characters appear more than the positive characters, they teach us more. I feel like that. So yeah. It's a lot of information. And Mataji, the point where Priti Vilasini Mataji was asking about committing suicide, you know. So when you said there are 3 things to do if you do a Vaishnava Aparad, if you speak something angry or bad to a Vaishnava devotee, like walk away or counteract to it or we commit suicide. Mm-hmm. So I just remembered, Mataji, in Mahabharata where Arjun faces that. He says something bad to his brother Yudhishthir, and mm-hmm. Arjun goes to commit suicide by himself because he was trying to follow the third one. And Krishna strictly objects saying, no, never commit suicide. So it's a point where even it is said in the Vedas, so we need to follow. Even when Arjuna was doing it, Krishna was there. He said, no, nobody should commit suicide. So what do? You praise yourself. Or you praise yourself instead of committing suicide. And to counteract that abharada, you praise your brother. So if you are...
blaspheme your brother.
Your
brother. And then, because that's equivalent by killing somebody. Because his vow was, that if somebody tells me to put down my Gandiva, then you know, I'll kill that person. And Yudhishthir Maharaj, he was being so much injured by the arrows of Karna. And then he went to his own shivir and then the tent. And then Arjuna followed. And then Yudhishthir said, how come you are here? Have you killed Karna? And then he said, no, I came to know that you are injured. So I came to see you. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj was so annoyed and he said, why you are carrying this Gandiva? Better to put down that you have not even killed Karna and you came running after me. And then Arjun was in such a dilemma because his vow was that if somebody will tell me to put down my Gandiva, I'll kill that person. And then how he can kill Yudhishthira Maharaj now? He's his elder brother. And then Krishna intervenes and he says, killing doesn't mean physical killing. You can kill somebody through your words also, which is much worse than killing physically. And then he told Arjuna that, okay, now instead of killing physically, just blaspheme your brother. And then Arjuna throwed all the blasphemy on Yudhishthira Maharaj. Because of you, Kurukshetra war is happening. You only were so much into that dice game that you didn't even bother to keep we brothers and Draupadi to stake. And you know, you did so much and you are the only cause. You are the only responsible person. So this way he started blaspheming. So it's equivalent to killing Yudhishthira Maharaj. But now after blaspheming, a Vaishnava, especially an elder brother who is just like a father figure, you know, how can you blaspheme? To counteract that blaspheme is that you should commit suicide. And then Krishna intervenes that, no, please don't commit suicide, because another way of committing, like suicide is again, you are giving up your body. So giving up your body, another sense is try to praise yourself, because then you will feast your ego. Giving up your physical body or feasting your ego is on the same platform. So he says, don't give up your physical body, because this physical body is needed for this war. So why don't you just feast your ego? Start praising your own self. So keep on praising yourself. And then he started praising that it's because of me that you will be able to win this battle. And I've killed so many soldiers, and because of my Gandiva, because I got so many weapons, I went to Indralok and this and that. He started praising himself. So this is also one of the way that Krishna is.
Thank you, Lakshmi Mataji, for bringing up such beautiful points.
Yeah, that suddenly struck my mind, Mataji, because that point where Krishna strictly says nobody should commit suicide. So that's a valid point for us to add, even while, because the Mataji, this chapter, there are many hope to misunderstand, like, for me, a beginner, like the question rises again, you see, why he's so merciful, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but why did he, he was so strong with him and it's so hard, and why did Chotahadyas commit suicide? So for me, beginner, it may be many chance to misunderstand both of the characters, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chotahadyas. So it was, we need more time to realize all this, Mataji. So I just wanted to add that. And one more point, Mataji, the point where you said the stages, Mataji, where every day the devotees would go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and appeal for Chota Haridas. So one time they go, the Swarup Damodar went, and next day they went in a group, and even finally they went to Paramanandapur. Mm-hmm. So even while taking so much of atoms, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so strong. But we know his heart is like a flower, they used to say, like a rose. But in his principle, he was like a thunderbolt. So, yeah, so that justifies how strong Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was. And one final question, Mataji. I don't know if the question is right, but it just appeared in my mind, so I want to ask you. Mataji, you mentioned like Srila Prabhupada used to say to the sannyasis, well, while he knows that they're unable to continue the sannyasa life very efficiently, he advised them, you take grihastha and then go to vanaprastha, then again come back to sannyas. You mentioned that point.
No, maybe you have misunderstood.
Yeah,
not that to his sannyas disciple he'll say, but those who will approach for sannyas, not okay. Yet sannyas, okay, they are still brahmachari, not yet, but the Prabhupada feels that, you know, they are not fit to take sannyas, and he will say that come into the rastrasha.
Oh, the persons, so the devotees who are not yet taken sannyas, they come and request to take sannyas. Okay, Mataji. So in that point, my question was, Mataji, what attracts the devotees to go and take sannyas? Because they are new devotees. So why do they appear for it?
Because at that time, Prabhupada was present in this planet, and you know that there was an initial enthusiasm that, you know, out of sentiments that, okay, I can give up this life to Srila Prabhupada. I want to give up whatever Prabhupada says. So let me take sannyas. But Prabhupada knows the heart of everyone, who is ready and who is not ready to take sannyas. So Prabhupada warned few of his disciples that, no, it's better for you to get into grihastha ashram. Like we see even in the pastime of Raghunath Das Goswami, So Das Goswami was such an from an aristocratic background, and he also approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I want to serve you. But Mahaprabhu knows that Das Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, wouldn't get any kind of permission from his family because his family wants him to get married. So Mahaprabhu said, no, you go back, get married, and then probably you can. So, you know, Krishna sitting in the heart, Prabhupada knows everybody's heart, so therefore they want them. But like in the case of my spiritual master, you know, my spiritual master writes in his book, Ocean of Mercy, that, you know, he joined ISKCON in January 77. In 77. And then in March, during the God Purnima, he got his first and second initiation. And then in August, after 3 months, he got his sannyas also. So Srila Prabhupada just told that, you know, just give this life to Krishna, and you have been wandering for so many lifetimes. So now give up this life to Krishna and I'm giving you sannyas initiation. And Gurudev writes in his book that Srila Prabhupada didn't even let him think of that whether is he ready for taking sannyas initiation or not. But Prabhupada knows that how sincere he was, and so Prabhupada granted him. And in November, Prabhupada left this planet. So it was just a 10-month association. But in 10 months, Prabhupada knows the heart of Guru Maharaj, and so he gave all the three initiations. So this is the point, you know, that Guru knows who we are and at what level we are.
Okay, Mataji. So I'm trying to understand that the new devotees, when they go to ask for sannyas, they may be not in the intellectual part, maybe. Like, because of the enthusiasm, they may go and ask.
Maybe through your initial enthusiasm, through sentiments. But, you know, that should not be the case. It should be your perfect intelligence, thinking all the pros and cons.
But Gurudev knows. So Gurudev's decision is final. And final one thing, Mataji, it's 7 instructions which you said in the end, Mataji. Actually, I think like we need to have a separate session for that, because all the each and every instruction is so, we have to explain it detailedly, the 7 instructions.
Maybe what we can do is, I don't know who's taking, tomorrow is Thursday, right? So Monday. Yeah. I was thinking if somebody can take up, this is the last verse number 172, the translation and the instructions from this chapter. So if you can repeat that, that will be very helpful. Maybe some devotee can take up this service.
Yeah, Mataji, we can assign it to the Monday speaker.
We can assign it to Adi Gadadhar Prabhu if he can.
Yes, Prabhu. Oh, yes, Mataji, we'll do that, yeah.
Yes, thank you, Mataji, because I felt like each point I need more explanations. It is so rushed up like today, like the particular 7 instructions. So thank you, Mataji, for accepting my request. And thank you so much for the class, Mataji. Very, very nice class.
Thank you, Hare
Krishna.
Thank you so much.
And especially
I like this photograph of Krishna
and Balram.
They're so
enthusiastic. Yes, Mataji, it's my favorite picture. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Kitida Sundari Mataji, Koti Koti then, but pranam to your seva. Sila Prabhupada, Sila Gurudev ki jai. When you Prithi Vilasani Sita Priya Dasi explaining Katha Mataji, and our very loving, I forgot yesterday night, Lalitangi Gopi. Why this Katha is over? It's going on and going on and going on. How nicely you narrating the Shishi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Past time, Chota Haridas, what is the rules and regulations? And especially very thankful to you that 7 instruction. Mataji, yes, I agree with one Mataji, Lakshmi Mataji, that please give a special class for 7 instruction. Hari Hari, Gauranga. And Mataji, you are totally involved in enjoying the Katha. So we all are involving by your bhakti, Mataji. Mataji, please Two minute, two stanza, you sing 2 bhajan, Gaurange, Vajile, and 1 more. Please, I know you are so tired, but please give me your association. Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam, Sila Prabhupada, Sila Gurudev Ki Jai. Thank you, Radhe. Thank you.
Mataji, I have 2 more questions before that.
Yeah, please go ahead.
And it's already past 2 hours, so what do you want to do? I mean, or I should text you.
Go ahead with your question.
Okay. The question is, what was the question? Yeah, the question was, I think the second instruction, if you can say that once.
Second instruction is that by chastising Chota Haridas, the Lord set the standard for the acharyas or the heads of the institutions for propagating this Chaitanya cult for all the devotees.
Okay, Mataji. I didn't hear it fully, so I asked. The second thing is three and a half, right? You were talking, and that answer was, I mean, I just wanted to tell you that it was very nice when you said that it was half because of the amount of association that actually Madhavi Devi could actually offer. So that actually made some sense to me. So thank you for that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's all, Mataji. You sing, Mataji.
From the Chaitanya for Prabhupada's purport, 10.37. Adi Leela 10.137. Prabhupada writes in English.
Thank you, Mataji. Yeah, you sing, Mataji, no problem.
Anyone else? It's already 1:13. Vrinda Gopika Mataji, I'll just sing two lines of it so that, you know. Gauranga Karuna Karo. दीनहीन जाने मुसम्मा पतिता प्रभु नहीं त्रिभुवाने दंतत्रे न धरी गौरा दाकिए तुमारे कृपा करिए शो आम हृदया मंदिरे जड़ी दया ना करीबे पतिता देखिया पतिता पावन नामा किशर लगिया हरे कृष्ण
हरे कृष्ण थैंक यू वेरी वेरी मच वेरी नाइस Nicely explaining everything. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for a wonderful class.
Okay,
thank
so
you, Mataji. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. So we'll stop here. So Preeti Vilasan Mataji, please make a note that 172 verse can be repeated by Adi Guru Prabhu or Ramakrishna Prabhu.
Yes, yes. I will let them know, Mataji.
We can start with the chapter 3, that is the glories of Shri Haridas.
Okay, Mataji. Yes. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you for the very nice class. I mean, I'm so glad it came to you, the entire class. And you made me really think a lot. Thank you very much for that. Thank you so much. We can end the call. I wish we cannot, we shouldn't, but we have to. So we'll end the call. Vansha
Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyo Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah
Anta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai
Jai
Kirti
Dasa
Ki Jai
Jai
Thank you Mataji Hare Krishna
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Very nice.